For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. But false prophets arose among the people, just as there will be false prophets among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. This morning we focus our attention upon rallying to the Berean ministries. Once in a while, and this is the day for it, we need to stop, back off, and look from whence we have come and where we are going. This is not only important for us as an organization, it is very important for you as an individual believer, so that at the judgment seat of Christ, the rewards that God wants to give you, you will have qualified for. I'll tell you right up front that we will begin this morning. It's probably one of the most important series that we've had in a long time. Territory which is familiar, perhaps, but in a new context. It will take us a couple, three Sundays to do it. We live in the church age. Begin on day of Pentecost, come to an end on the day of the rapture. We are a distinctive body of believers. We are the people under the grace of God as never before. We have a mission which is totally different from that of Israel. But we live, nevertheless, in the devil's world. We live in the devil's world, and he will not be deposed until the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can remove him from power. We're told this in the book of the Revelation, chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. John the apostle says, "And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand." The abyss is probably in the center of the earth. "And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him, so that he should not deceive the nations any longer, until 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time." One more rebellion, and then comes the end. Verses 7 through 10. "When the 1,000 years, we call that the millennium, are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. And they came up on the broad plain of the earth, surrounded the camp of the saints, the beloved city, Jerusalem. Fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, having been put there 1,000 years before. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Heaven is a reality. It's a real place. Hell is a reality. It is a real place. And people will go to heaven with great, enormous joy beyond anything we can imagine now of what it will all entail. But we do know that hell will be misery all the day, if you can conceive of something like that forever and ever. So Satan is riding high now. He does deceive the nations. He is the one that makes those of us who are Christians and who know God's ways and have a moral frame of reference wonder what on earth is going on in the world today. What possesses the leaders of nations? Well, what possesses them is the human viewpoint of Satan. And they are going to run themselves right into the destruction of the tribulation. Today, therefore, living in such a world and being part of the special group of believers, the body of Christ, today it is our business as believers to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all we live for, by learning and applying Bible doctrine, and to growing to super grace maturity level. It is not our job in the world to try to depose Satan. We, as Christians, are to become Christ-like. And that is what you have to remember. I'm going to do this. Is this Christ-like? I'm going to go there. Is that Christ-like? I'm going to buy this. Is that Christ-like? I'm going to look at this. Is that Christ-like? And it is not to be blown off unless you want to waste your life. And you want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, a poor hound dog that has no rewards coming because you earned nothing. You were not Christ-like. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Peter says, "You therefore, beloved Christians, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of the unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness." Oh, boy, what a big congregation of people would be seated here this morning if all those people that we have seen over the years fall from their steadfastness, people who once walked as prince and princesses among us, and they didn't take seriously that they lived in a devil's world, that he was lying as a lion in wait to pounce upon them, and they opened themselves up to his destructive influence. Peter says, don't ever think you have it made. Don't ever think that just because you were reared in a Christian home and you were made to go to Sunday school and to church all your life, that you don't need to be there in the study of the Word of God at the Sunday church services. You can't live on yesterday's food, and you can't survive in a devil's world without that spiritual nourishment. And you may think that it is so important what you do right now, and maybe even preparing for your future. Oh boy, how many people I know who are going to prepare for their future. Finally, they got to where they had the material things they wanted, and they thought they could take it easy, and they died. And what they left behind them was for somebody else to use, and went to heaven without having gained the rewards that were at their fingertips. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity." You cannot follow God if you do not know Bible doctrine. If you do not know Bible doctrine, you cannot know what God thinks. And if you cannot know what God thinks, you will not live your life for maximum blessing here and maximum rewards in eternity. Now, you can blow it off, and you can take it any way you want to. You are your own priest. And you can say, I'm going to boogie and have fun now, and I'm going to be buddies with the world, and their ways will be my ways. And you can go out with the consequences of spiritual poverty into eternity. The unfortunate thing is you'll also take your memory, and you'll remember the opportunities and the cautions and the warning that without Christ-likeness, you got nothing. So don't talk like the world, talk like Jesus Christ. Don't look at things like the world, but look as Jesus Christ does. Don't treat people as the world does, but treat them as Jesus Christ does. Move through this world as a child of God. You are the aristocracy because you're of the church age. Christians are to live in this world as the royal family of God. They are to serve the Father with divine good works. We are the aristocracy of heaven. We are the ambassadors from heaven. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter says, "Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment." God knows how to guide you to walking through this world. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. "And coming to him as a living stone rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God. People don't like the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't like to be like him. The people in the political and the entertainment industry and the business industry, they don't like to be like Jesus Christ. What they like to be like is like Satan. So we Christians are to remember, first of all, in this rally day, that you are not a commoner. Now, you can go ahead and live like one, but you'll have all eternity to regret it. You need to live the way you are. The divine plan for God's Christian nobility must not be sidetracked by all the foolishness, the fruitfulness, the arrogant ambitions of sincere Christians to go about reforming the devil's world. That's called getting involved in society. Reforming the devil's world. You're not called to do that. You're called to be a light, to sound a warning, to say Satan is going to go right down fighting to the end, and most people will follow him. So if you want to follow that gang, you may. It's a dead-end street. Do not be part of movements to make the world look good by covering up its evil ways and its value system. You cannot outwit Satan, and you cannot make society good. That is not our calling as Christians. Our calling as Christians is to be a lighthouse. Christianity is not a political movement. Unfortunately, through history, periodically it became that. Christianity is not a political movement. It is a personal relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Christians are to be godly, exemplary citizens who bear true testimony to society of the grace, salvation, and the divine viewpoint doctrines. Church and state, separate institutions. Now, whatever participation Christians have in community matters or political process cannot be done at the expense of neglecting your divine call, your mission. I'm going to become Christ-like. I have to learn church-age doctrine, to feed my soul upon the mind of Christ, and I have to grow to super grace spiritual maturity so that I'm living a life that Christ and the Holy Spirit are leading me in, really leading me. I'm telling you, there's a great reality to the intuitive guidance of the Spirit of God. The charismatics are always talking about hearing voices and having visions, but that's bunko. But do not discount the fact that God has promised to guide us. Jesus said, I'll give you what you ask for. I will lead you. I will provide for you. And you will have, after a while, a sensitivity that God is directing you. It will become very real. But you can't walk through the world contaminated by his garbage instead of being Christ-like for that communication to be there. With that kind of a walk through this world, you can impact society. You can impact it only one way, through the knowledge of the Word of God. And in one way or another, you're making that possible. The Christian is in his finest hour when he lets the spiritually dead of our society run the dead institutions of this world. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 9, verses 59 and 60, just that very thing. The Lord said to another, follow me. And he said, permit me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Believers who walk through this world as the Christ-like examples, the pioneers, the soldiers who are doing the Word of God in practice, are the unsung heroes. They are the ones who are so dear to God. The people that are not in esteem in heaven are those who carry water for the world system. Now, you may think we don't need that emphasis. Who would want to do that? Don't kid yourself. Christians are always being drawn into carrying water for the world system. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Paul says, oh, I hope you will understand how rich you can be in heaven. I hope you will understand where you can end up in eternity with your time, your talents, and your treasures. I hope you will not foolishly listen to the devil. This is his world. He is in charge. And until the Lord Jesus Christ throws him into that abyss, he's going to run things. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Today, Christians lack doctrinal orientation. They don't understand what it is to live under the grace power system of doctrinal understanding and the indwelling Holy Spirit. And so they're egged on by ministers to human viewpoint objectives of improving society. So Christians are deceived by their ministers into a lot of things. Subjective emotionalism. That's at the heart of almost all church, local church business today. Emotionalism. Personality cults. Some preacher that steps up in the pulpit, looks impressive in his white suit and light tie, and everybody thinks he is somebody and something, and they can't wait to come rushing off to listen to him. Church programs, totally unrelated to proclaiming doctrine. That's what most programs are. Social activism to provide for the poor. Feminism to see that everybody can go to everybody's golf course. Being non-judgmental towards sexual immorality. That's a cute one. Being non-judgmental. Every now and then I've had some Christians saying, well, we shouldn't be judgmental. And I have to say, I wish you had told that to the Lord Jesus. He had some very unkind things to say about the scribes and Pharisees in evaluating their influence. The fragmentation of the lines of authority and the duties in the family. Husbands afraid to be men. Wives afraid to be mothers. The whole corruption of American society. There's not even a closeness between husbands and wives. Almost inconceivable to me to live with, you have your checkbook and I have mine. That's union in Christ. The illusion of being an influence on worldlings. All that comes right out of the pulpit. And why is it? It's because, like Sportin' Life said in Porgy and Bess, the Bible ain't necessarily so. It ain't necessarily so. Yeah, oh, God said there was a big boat, carried all the animals, and saved them from drowning. But Sportin' Life said, it ain't necessarily so. Well, we'll find out. And we're going to find out that the Bible is necessarily so. And you can play that game to avoid being a light to the society and to avoid being what God has called you to be. But the lifestyle that is required of us as Christians is no secret. It is laid out in the Word of God. A doctrinally oriented believer is refined in his behavior. He doesn't have to go around using curse words in order to be impressive. I was an officer in the United States Marine Corps in World War II, and I never cursed my men, and I never cursed before anybody. But when I looked at somebody and told them to do something, they did it. The stupidity that you cannot stand with poise and be Christ-like in the military, let alone in civilian life, that's the devil's world. Anytime you hear somebody who acts with in an uncouth, vulgar way without refined behavior, that's a weak person. There's no strength there. That's a twit. To be poised, that's what the Bible expects of us. To be gracious, to be of uncompromised integrity. We do what's right because Christ is in us. Holy Spirit is in us, not because the law agencies are watching us. We always act. God asks us to act as in his presence, who sees and he judges. And all this begins because we take the Bible to really be what it claims to be, the voice of God. If you know that voice, then you can follow the way of God. The Christian knows what is expected to him as part of heaven's aristocracy. He gets that instruction from his pastor teacher if he is fortunate enough to attend an expository church. You should be grateful to God that in the providence of God you've been led into a place like Berean Church. We're not the only one, but we are among the rare ones where people can walk in and a passage of Scripture is laid up before people, and from the authority of Scripture, theology, and language, we can tell people this is what God is saying. What do you want to do with it? You have a right to know that. And if you do not have that pastor teacher, then you're to be pitied. You will not know it. And the bigger church you have, the larger the congregation, I've observed that the less you can have of expository preaching. You can't get away with it. In our day, people want emotionalism. They want to have their spirit jacked up. They don't want to sit and think about the nature of Christ and the impact upon them that he indwells us and what that means to us. The Lord Jesus Christ in his humanity demonstrated his royal lifestyle. His royal lifestyle was living out principles of doctrine. Doctrine which he had stored from childhood in his human spirit. And for the believer who has that in temporal fellowship, he has a great life before him. But if no one has ever taught you the principles of doctrine, all you got to go on is your feelings and your old sin nature. In John chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me." Well, what did you come down from? What did you come to earth for? I have come down from heaven. I've come into this life as a God-man, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John chapter 8, verse 29. He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And I want to tell you again, he's not talking about his deity. He never acted in his deity. He acted as a human being, just like you and I have to act in the devil's world. I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Can you do that? Yes. You won't always do it. We didn't have his full capacity. But we do have the knowledge of the Word, and we have the power of the Spirit of God. And when you use 1 John 1:9 and make those confessions when you need them, you'll find that doing right is the way that is the most comfortable to you. Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Luke 3, 21, 22. Now it came about when all the people were baptized, and Jesus also was baptized. While he was praying, heaven was open. The Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. A voice came out of heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I'm well pleased." Okay, let's listen. Can you feel that you might expect to hear the Lord saying, "You are my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. You are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Well, doing the right thing by the standards of Scripture is the right way for the Christian to live in contrast to the devil's world. It's no secret how we should conduct ourselves. The grace of God enables the Christian not to be contaminated by the world. You and I have divine resources. This was the problem with the Mosaic Law. Told you to do some right thing, and you couldn't do it because there was no divine power to do it. And your sin nature beat the fool out of you every time. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, for us it's different. "But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught of him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, when you are unsaved, you'll lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." You and I can do right. The Christian lives not by human ability, by the power of God to do what is right. And that is what we are rallying to today, a congregation of people who will just be Christ-like. The world cannot do this, even if they have Christian leaders at the head of their government. Christians often presumptuously claim to be called by God to one thing or another that entangles their lives in this world system. These are satanic, worldly counterfeits, and they're a rat hole for your life. And every now and then, we look around, "Hey, where is so-and-so? I don't see her anymore. I don't see him. Used to sit there. Then we find out they've been swallowed up in the rat hole of Satan's system. So they're no longer here. They become a Demas. Don't kid yourself. You're not above that. None of us are beyond being swallowed up in this world system if you're going to be part of it. And it is so easy when you start trying to reform the world and make it godlike. This is exactly where you're going to go. And it is so sad to look out there and go back down memory lane and remember some soldier of Christ who is no longer there. Casualty, a spiritual casualty. And gradually, they're detached out into the world system or into religion. Philippians chapter 3. Verses 20 through 31, as we conclude. 3, 20 through 31. 3, 20 through 21. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Yes, you may die. Yes, you may go to heaven. But the time will come when you will be raised and you will be joined back with your spirit and your soul, and you will become the operational family of God and the royal family of God in the millennial kingdom. Now, what should we be? What kind of people, in view of all this, should we be? That is where we're going to be going in the next few weeks. Very specifically, the call to the Berean ministries, the call to making a life that is Christ-like, the call to being involved in the things where you should be, the way things ought to be. When Nehemiah had to go back to rebuild the walls around the city of Jerusalem from captivity in Babylon, they did it in 52 days, got it all connected, reconstructed under great difficulties. And the reason for it, Nehemiah said that the people had a heart to work. You got to have heart, lots and lots of heart. The people had a heart to work. What kind of a heart do you have this day? That is what we're rallying to, a heart to work. Specifics coming up.